live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University. It is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It is about that time. You are now locked into WKAR's current sports, coming to you right here live on WKAR AM 870. 105.1 FM. It's Monday Fun Day. I really hope you guys had a great weekend. Fun weekend for me. I tell you what, it was kind of a blur, I must say, because as many of you know, we had our very first on-the-road broadcast, current sports broadcast, on Friday night from 6 to 7 p.m. It all worked out fine. You know, I was so nervous on Friday at 1 o'clock as I addressed you all on our regular broadcast, right? And we were pubbing it. But I was a bit nervous because when we looked at the weather forecast, there was a high possibility of rain that was scheduled to begin right around the time we hit the air. Well, after we signed off and as we got closer to 6 p.m., our fantastic news director, Reginald Hardwick, he said, look, let's just set up. If it happens to rain, you know, we had a plan B in place where I was going to do the show from the press box at Cooley Law School Stadium. We had a plan B and even a plan C actually set up and ready for you guys. So the fantastic current sports team, we went down there. We linked up with the fantastic personnel for the Lansing Lugnuts. We set up. We pitched a tent. It was very windy, I must say. But, folks, we had no rain. How about that? It all worked out for the very first ever current sports on the road series. A ton of guests. I'm gonna save my rant and my praise for those who were able to make Friday night happen downtown Lansing at Cooley Law School Stadium. I'll save my praise for our weekend winner segment, but that was a great time. It was great getting a chance to meet some of our listeners in person, getting a chance to shake your hand, take a pic or two. It was a great time downtown. And then on Saturday, made the hike down to Kentucky, had to go to a wedding, and then went to Ohio, and then I just got back in town. I want to say about, you know, like probably 4 or 5 hours ago, and I'm rolling off about 5 hours of sleep, and I don't want to see another car. All right. I'm one of those guys that, you know, road trips are cool. Road trips are great. But I can't drive for more than an hour. I start getting irritable. And it's like, you know, and then I start getting sleepy. You know, I'm one of those guys. Yeah, I suffer from that. I have to, like, pull over and go get me an energy drink or some coffee because just on the road and, you know, especially don't let it be a comfortable seat, right, in the car, like a luxury car, because that just puts me even more to sleep. And it's like, all right, I got to pull over and get me something to drink. But I just can't stand long drives behind the wheel. If I'm not driving, I'm good. But behind the wheel, no. It's I need some conversation, all right? So I don't want to see another car. I other than, of course, seeing you beautiful people here at 1 o'clock, I kind of want to see my bed after I get off work later on today because I got some catching up on some rest to do, I must say. But, hey, I also want to give a big shout-out. The man behind the glass is back. Our regular current sports engineer, Ian Hawley, is back from vacay. And I tell you what, you guys can't see Ian right now. You can just see me. If you're tuned in on our live stream right now at facebook.com/WKAR News, you can just see me. But I wish I could just kind of turn the camera around because Ian Hawley looks like a brand new man right now. He's got a new haircut. You know, he got a lineup.
You don't have to flatter me.
I'm just saying, man. I walked in like, dude, you need to be on the cover of GQ magazine right now. You have like a James Bond hairstyle rocking right now. You look like Pierce Brosnan or Daniel Craig right now.
I need to start rocking the accent.
Exactly, right. Shaking, not stirred.
Exactly.
Right?
Then maybe the ladies will notice me.
Right. Yeah, maybe, right? But maybe. Ian, how was your break first off, man? You been good?
Yes, sir. It was great. California was not as hot as it had been in recent days, which was nice. It had been up to about 105 there, and I was not looking forward to that. But it was about 85 the whole time. Got to spend some quality family time with my aunt who lives out there. We did too much stuff, you know. I was running the whole time. Felt like I needed a break after the vacation.
Well,
so it's good to be back, man.
That's how it is, right? Because when I told you a story, when I went to Florida to go visit my mom for the 4th, you know, it's like you're on vacation, but, you know, when you're with your family, they have, especially when you don't get a chance to see them a lot, you know, they plan something every hour on the hour, right? So you're like, you know, you're not really relaxing. You're constantly doing something. And that certainly wears on you as well, man. But it is great to have you back. And again, a big shout out to our current sports team who did a great job filling in for Ian Hawley last week. I mean, we're talking about Jack Kerwin, Connor Mathis, Alec Rio, Tamar Davis. They were all fantastic last week and knocked it out the park. But we're glad to have Ian Hawley back. And we're going to try and, you know, actually switch the order of today's current sports. This is the part of the show where normally I bring to you our current sports quick hit headliners, you know, our top eight headliners for the day. But I'm going to switch it up in just a moment because we actually have a guest that will be joining us in about a couple of minutes here. Ron DeLeon, you know that name very, very well because he is a regular here on the show. He is one of my favorite guys of all time. He is the fight promoter of Mid-Michigan, and he's going to join me on the show to talk about a very cool charitable event that he does on the regular, and he's going to tell you all about how you can get involved. And after we talk with Ron, we'll get to our headliners, and then we've got a lot to get to, folks. I'm going to try and cram in segment B a lot, all right? So bear with me. I don't want to feel like I'm rushing certain conversations, but I got a lot I want to get off my chest. As you guys know, out in Chicago right now, Big Ten Media Days are getting underway. Commissioner of the Big Ten, Jim Delaney, is speaking right now as I speak. His press conference began at 12:30 p.m., and I was listening to it as I, you know, right before I got to the studio today, and he had some interesting things to say about the Big Ten Conference and the competitiveness of Big Ten football for the upcoming season. So we'll get to Big Ten Media Days. Also, how about Tiger Woods? Wow. I did not think Tiger Woods was going to be competitive going into the weekend in the British Open because I watched those first two rounds and they didn't blow my mind. But then all of a sudden, Tiger Woods goes on this crazy birdie streak on Sunday, and it's like, oh my goodness. He's really in contention here. And then all of a sudden, he was leading the pack at the Open Championship. And I want to make a few points when it comes to Tiger Woods moving the needle in golf. When Tiger Woods is playing, let alone competing for any tournament, let alone a major, Tiger doesn't just move the needle. He is the needle. All right, so I'll get to that conversation, and then we'll have weekend winners for you, as we always do each and every Monday here on Current Sports, where we look at the entire weekend that was in the world of sports and beyond and bring to you who we thought had the best weekend or the worst weekend. You know, I should start calling this segment Weekend Winners and Losers, right? Because I do have one loser I want to bring up as well. So, if you would like to be a part of the show, multiple ways in which you can do so. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News and check out the live stream there. Comment below that video. Or you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. And right now, let's get to our first guest here on the show. His name is Ron DeLeon. I just intro'd him a few minutes ago. He is the fight promoter here in Mid-Michigan. He does so many different things. You guys may know him also as the best bus driver here in Michigan as well. He's actually on the clock as we speak, and he joins me live here on the airwaves today to talk about a one-of-a-kind charitable event that has to deal with the world of tennis. So right now, Ron joins us on line one. Ron, what's up, my man?
Al, how are you doing, my friend?
Always good chatting with you, Ron.
Congratulations on your live remote. That was very nice. Doing things, big things, Al. Very proud of you, my friend.
Hey, I'm just trying to do some different things here that we haven't done here at Current Sports. And it was fantastic, Ron, the first time we've done it, and there are certainly going to be more to come. Hopefully at the next one I can see you. You can stop by, man, and we'll get you on the air. How's that sound?
I would love to do that. I don't mind being seen.
That's great stuff, my man Ron De Leon. So, Ron, we want to have you on to talk about a very cool event that you are a part of annually here. Can you tell us a bit about the Memorial Tennis Challenge in honor of the great Brian and Christian Ferguson?
Yes, sir. Brian Ferguson is a lifelong friend of mine. I've been integral with the Ferguson family for many years, and Brian is a very dear friend of mine who mentored a lot of our city's youth. Coaching and mentoring, whether it be basketball, softball, or tennis. He's in the Greater Lansing Sports Hall of Fame for back-to-back winning state championships in basketball over at J.W. Sexton High School. He passed away of cancer 14 years ago, and we wanted to keep his legacy alive, keep his name alive for being such a positive influence in the community. So we've been came out with the Great Brian Ferguson Memorial Tennis Challenge, where the tournament is $20, per person, per event, all age levels, all skill levels, but you make the check right out to the American Cancer Society. It's a total fundraiser. We've done it. This is going to be our 13th year doing it. 3 years ago, unfortunately, we've lost Christian, his brother, another local great talent and a mentor for our youth. So it's now the Great Brian and Christian Ferguson Memorial Tennis Challenge. Mm-hmm. It's 2 weeks out, August 4th and 5th, over at Holt High School. And once again, it's 100% fundraiser for the American Cancer Society in honor of these two great men that did so much for our community.
Without a doubt, Ron. And I have to ask, did Christian also pass away due to cancer as well?
Yes, he did.
Wow.
Yes, he did. No, yes, so we changed it from the Great Brian to the Great Brian and Christian. I guess the Ferguson family has done so much for our community. And we just wanted to honor their legacy. At some capacity, I've had so many stories, guys tell me to jump on my bus or when I'm out in the city, how Brian or how Christian influenced their lives in some way, shape, or form. And just, you know, their legacy will continue to live on. We do the sermon the first weekend of August every year. Like as I mentioned, very proud of the fact this is our 13th year doing it, 100% fundraiser. So I'm very proud of that fact.
That's absolutely amazing, Ron. And you talk about how people come up to you all and mention how Brian and Christian impacted their lives. I want to talk about the personal relationship that you had with Brian and Christian. Where did that friendship begin, and what did he mean to you? What did those two men mean to you?
Brian was hilarious. He's also a comedian. I met Brian at a Kingsley tennis tournament that I was playing in as well. We were both playing in it. I looked over and see this gentleman with the watch on, and my court time was about to come on. And I said, "Excuse me, sir, do you know what time it is?" He looks at his watch and he says, "Yes, I do." And turns away and continues to watch the match we're watching. And I'm thinking, man, who is this guy, you know? And he looks over and says, "Crack," he goes, "I'm sorry," and he gave me the time. My name's Brian, and that's when we met. I had to have been like in 10th grade, mm-hmm. which was 1981. And we became fast friends and play tennis all the time. And when another up-and-coming player would, you know, be in the area, he would call me up to play against him, see how we matched up together, because I grew up, you know, playing tennis ever since, you know, I was real small. And just did so much for our community and inspired so many of these young kids to stay off the streets and do positive things. And that's with Brian. And then with Christian, Christian was a basketball coach over at East Lansing High School. Mm-hmm. That was my nephew, Paulie Stoll, which I've mentioned many times on the show before, his first high school varsity basketball coach. And same thing, did a lot of camps, a lot of things for our community. And you just can't, there's no price, you can't replace time. The time and effort these guys spent with these kids, you know, none of these were even their kids. So they spend so much time away from family and friends to mentor our city's youth, and you've got to respect and honor that.
Without a doubt. And Ron, they seem like two incredible men. And again, you mentioned how this is the 13th year that you all are putting on the Memorial Tennis Challenge in honor of Brian and Christian Ferguson. Ron, in what way have you seen this tennis challenge and this incredible endeavor, philanthropic endeavor, kind of grow over the years? And do you all have a target amount that you're trying to shoot for and hit for this year?
No, we don't. We don't. We just do it. We promote it as best we can locally, get a lot of support from the Ferguson family. Joel, you know, has been tremendous with all his help as well in promoting it. And what we do is, and strictly between you and I, not even be funny about it, but it has never been about the money. It's just about keeping their legacy alive. And what we do is we've got a representative from the American Cancer Society that will come out on Sunday, collect all the funds, all the checks, and everything like that. And ballpark wise, you know, we average maybe like 50 to 60 participants per year, you know, per year mm-hmm. to do that. So do the math on that. And that's what we've done year in, year out. And it's just so much about keeping their name alive, keeping their presence felt in our community. And there's others out there that are out there trying to inspire and to motivate and keep people doing the positive. And this through tennis is where it's at for this event.
Again, we are chatting with Ron DeLeon about the Memorial Tennis Challenge in honor of the great Brian and Christian Ferguson. It will take place Saturday, August 4th to Sunday, August 5th at Holt High School. And those listening out there, to participate, for more info, you can call 517-214-0929. Again, that's 517-214-0929. Now, how is the competition kind of set up, Ron? I mean, you said you guys have about, you know, 50 participants here, all skill levels, all ages welcome. You know, how is it split up? Do you know, all ages just compete against one another, and then you have one champion? How does it work?
See, I've been undefeated for the last 10 years, especially in the girls 10 and under.
Wow.
And no, I'm joking.
I was about to say, Ron. Hold on. What, Ron?
what it is, it's a men's open, like some of the best players in the area. We've got the Eagle family. Jeremy Eagle is a phenomenal player from the Holt area. He's been winning it pretty consistently. We've got the men's 35 with Mark West consistently winning that. We've got all different age levels, all different skill levels, high school players. We've got doubles. We've got mixed doubles. We've got about 15 to 18 players in the men's 60 and over. So it's like, wow. I said, it's a lifetime sport. I mean, you can play that your whole life, and it didn't want to scare people away thinking a tournament automatically is going to be that competitive, because we've got the competitive business, but then we've got, like I said, kids, you know, 10 and under, 8 and under, anything you can think of to get people on the court. And then I do my little 5-minute speech or 10-minute speech. I don't want this to just be another tennis tournament. I want them to know who the men they're playing for and what it's about. So I'll have a little biography of both of them on the fence when they first walk in, to show, you know, what they did for the community with pictures, and we'll have pictures of the last 12 years that we've had also. So it just not to be an event you just show up and play and go home. I want them to know who they're playing for and why it's important to me to keep this going. So. That's
great stuff, Ron. And again, just to make sure I get this right, $20 per person, right?
Per person, per event. Like if you want to play singles, it's $20. If you want to play doubles, it's, you know, 10 for you and 10 for your partner. And as I mentioned, the beauty of this is all checks, everything's made payable to the American Cancer Society. 100% fundraiser.
That's amazing, Ron. And you know, I'm kind of ashamed to say this. As you're talking about the different age groups and those competing, Ron, get this. You may not believe this, but I have never played the sport of tennis.
Well, you're about to start.
Right? We need to get out one day, man, because I've always, and you know, we work here at the Communication Arts and Sciences Building. That's where WKAR is located, which is right down the street from the outdoor tennis courts here on Michigan State's campus. And I always drive by and say, one day I got to get out there and try it. That's probably the only sport I've never tried.
Al, I'm out there pretty much every night because those courts are lit till midnight. They're lit courts till midnight.
Right.
I take family and friends out there. We're out there pretty much every night till midnight leading up to the tournament, making sure you just get everybody's, you know, strokes in and getting everything acclimated with being on the court for so long. But, yeah, it's a win-win situation for the community and keeping these two great men's legacy alive.
That is fantastic stuff, Ryan. Well, I tell you what, I appreciate your time, my man, because I know you're on the clock right now. Thank you so much for calling in and telling us about this great event. And we'll be sure, as the date draws nearer and nearer, we'll continue to remind our audience how they can get involved. So thank you so much, Ryan.
Thank you so much for your time, Al. Very much appreciate it, my friend.
You got it. Ryan DeLeon, the one, the only. Oh, he's fantastic. And again, we'll be sure to put that information on how you can get involved and get registered. And maybe you just want to give to the cause, just give to the event. We'll be sure to put that information on our website as well as our Facebook page when we do post this episode at facebook.com/WKAR News. Again, Ron DeLeon talking about the Memorial Tennis Challenge honoring the great Brian and Christian Ferguson. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, again, a bit of a different show today since we had Ryan at the top of the hour. We're going to have our quick hit headliners for you all, and then we'll talk about the weekend that was at the British Open. Tiger Woods actually competing in a major. That and more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We just finished up a chat at the top of the hour with our dear friend of the show, Ryan DeLeon, who is I always call him the fight promoter here in the mid-Michigan area. He's also, you know, in the community left and right. You see him, you know, probably if, for those who do take the bus. You know, I remember I met Ryan as a student here at Michigan State University. He is one of the most personable dudes you'll ever meet in your life. I met Ron actually when I was riding the bus, seeing as though he's a cat of bus driver here in the area. Met Ron riding the bus one day, you know, his smiling face greeting students and anybody who boards his bus. And he actually, this year, I think he's done this multiple times, the Top of the Town Awards, he won the award for top bus driver in the city of Lansing. So salute to Ryan DeLeon, just a fantastic dude. He joined us here on our airwaves to talk about the tennis challenge that raises money for a great cause in honor of the Ferguson brothers, who sadly both passing away due to cancer. And you can enter just $20 per person. You can enter and play in the tennis challenge that will be taking place on August 4th. To the 5th, so that weekend, and 100% of the proceeds will go directly to the American Cancer Society. Great stuff. Behind the glass, as you guys know, Ian Hawley, current sports engineer, he's back in the chair after a week off, a much-deserved week off for him. We also have Alec Rio and Connor Mathis behind the glass, and all three of you, you know, we were just chatting about this during our first break. Big Ten Media Days taking place,
yes, sir,
out in Chi-Town in Chicago. You guys have it on behind the glass right now. Mm-hmm. Any updates from Big Ten Media Days right now? Who's talking?
Pat Fitzgerald is talking right now. Okay. He's actually talking about the gambling issue. Sorry, we're just reading the closed captions
legalized,
here.
I should say.
Yes.
Right.
So
gotcha.
At least there's a little bit of shakeup there. But, you know, we were kind of talking. Most of the Big Ten Media Days is all the same.
It's,
I mean, you could probably take Mark D'Antonio's Big Ten Media Day speeches from the last 5 years and piece them together, and it'd sound like one coherent speech because it's all the same thing.
It's the same. You know, and I was just, you know, going on a rant about how much sometimes I just hate Media Days sometimes, especially Big Ten Media Days. Every coach is optimistic. Every coach has a great lineup. Every coach is going to take it one game at a time. Every coach is going to try and be competitive in the Big Ten Conference. It's the same speech with every single coach. Jim Delaney spoke at 12:30 p.m. He is the Big Ten commish, as you guys know. And, you know, he talked about the year. He had kind of a year in review for Big Ten football last season and praised how if you look at in comparison to every other conference in America, apparently the Big Ten Conference is the only conference that actually had attendance go up. So fans actually, you know, came out to these games and in comparison to other conferences here in college football, the Big Ten Conference saw its attendance rise, which is pretty surprising. I didn't know that. Now, when it comes to the lineup for today, as you just mentioned, Ian, Pat Fitzgerald, head coach of the Northwestern Wildcats, he is on the podium right now. And in less than 5 minutes, James Franklin, head coach of Penn State, he will hit the podium at 1:45. Jeff Brown, head coach of the Purdue Boilermakers, he'll hit the podium. After that, I love this guy, though. I will say this, PJ Fleck, that's my guy. B.J. Fleck, dating back to his time at Western Michigan, he is so energetic. I remember the piece that ESPN did on him when College Game Day traveled to Kalamazoo on a really, really snowy morning and did College Game Day there, and they had a special feature where they ran a piece on B.J. Fleck and kind of his daily routine about, you know, what he does on an average day preparing his football team to go out there on a Saturday and play and get game ready. And they followed him, and he's so energetic. He's so positive. He lights this candle that represents, you know, never going to sleep. That candle just stays lit right there on his desk. I love PJ Fleck. So PJ Fleck will hit the podium right after we get off the air at 2 p.m., head coach of the Minnesota Golden Gophers. And then Chris Ash will hit the podium at 2:15. He's the head coach of Rutgers. And then Jim Harbaugh. I will be tuning in to see what Harbaugh has to say, actually. Yeah, Jim Harbaugh. Yeah. He'll finish out the day for day one at the podium. Jim Harbaugh, head coach of the Michigan Wolverines. He'll be talking at 2:30 p.m. But, yeah, just like you said, Ian, we were just chatting. Big Ten Media Days are just the same old thing every single year. You really get no sexy headlines coming out of Big Ten Media Days. It just really just marks the unofficial start of college football. It lets us know that, hey, college football is right around the corner. Get ready for it. I'm excited for it. I just want to get to the games now, really. But I am enjoying the summer. I will say that as well.
We got about, what, 40 days left? 39 days left? Something like that?
Crazy.
Where has the time gone,
that?
Man?
Yeah, I was talking with MSU Athletics, some members of MSU Athletics, you know, on Friday. And you know, I just can't believe that, you know, in a few weeks, we're going to be at Michigan State football practice. It's going to be old hat. We'll be at Michigan State football practice, shooting the practices, talking with the players, interviewing Coach D'Antonio. So I'm excited for it, and I'm really looking forward to this upcoming season for Michigan State football, one filled with a lot of expectation, really a lot of expectation. And Kari Willis, L.J. Scott, and Brian Lewerke are the three players that you know, are with Mark D'Antonio out in the Shy representing Michigan State University. And I think this year is pretty clear-cut. If you had to guess, Ian, who are going to be the captains for Michigan State football, I would probably peg – well, I will say this. I think Joe Bocci. I don't think that L.J. Scott's going to be a captain. I would say Joe Bocci. I think that the reason L.J. Scott is representing Michigan State is that, you know, this is good publicity for him. I mean, he's one of the Big Ten's best running backs. This is good pub for him to get on the radar of those in the national spotlight as far as the overall conference is concerned, so that he can bolster that resume to be a high draft pick come the NFL draft next year. But I don't think L.J. Scott will be a captain, though. I think that Kari Willis and Brian Lewerke will both be captains along with Joe Bocci for this upcoming season. Are those the three you would agree with, or do you have another name you want to throw out there?
I would agree, and I agree with the L.J. Scott take. I mean, I think everyone remembers that, you know, that punch into the end zone at the end of the 2015 Big Ten championship game against Iowa is kind of the highlight of L.J. Scott's career. But then he had a down year last year, and obviously the team had a down year in 2016. So I think L.J. Scott just kind of needs a morale boost, especially as a senior. And I think Mark D'Antonio made the right move by taking L.J. with him. But yeah, I would agree with those picks for the captain. There's no way Brian Lewerke is not going to be one of the captains this year. Mm-hmm. And in my mind, nobody besides Joe Bocci or maybe even Kenny Willekes deserves the captain spot on the defense more. So yeah, I agree with that.
Well, and to kind of just play devil's advocate with your L.J. Scott take about last season, I think that when you look at, sure, I think his numbers could have been a bit better. I will
say
that.
The five fumbles was a fumble.
He had fumbleitis. Yes, mm-hmm. That's something that L.J. Scott has struggled with. But, I mean, you know, he was named honorable mention in the Big Ten. It's honorable mention. So, I mean, still,
Do they do three teams in the Big Ten and then the honorable mention?
I believe so. Mm-hmm. I believe so. So he was honorable mention in when it comes to the all Big Ten voting. He also led the Spartans in rushing for the third straight season. He had 898 yards on a career high 201 carries. So that's a 76.6 yards per game clip, which isn't bad.
Not bad at all.
So I think that LJ Scott is going to be poised for a great season this upcoming year for 2018. But again, yeah, he's got a hopefully the fumbleitis bugaboo is in his past now, but we'll see.
And, you know, we lose Brian Allen at the center, so that's right. A question mark there, but really no other question marks on the offensive line. I think they'll improve drastically this year from last year with the experience that they have under their belt now, so our running game should be back to peak Michigan State form as it has been in years past.
Tell you what, though, I am really excited about Brian Lewerke.
Me too.
I think Brian Lewerke is going to be in the conversation. Knock on wood here. I'm not trying to jinx you, Brian. Not trying to jinx you. But I think Brian Lewerke is going to be in the conversation for a lot of the year when it comes to Heisman Trophy talks. I really, truly believe that, Ian.
He's on the preseason watch list for the Best Quarterback Award already.
He is. He definitely is. And who is that? We had last week on the show Zachary Swiezicki, who is Impact Sports 89 FM sports reporter and play-by-play director over there for Impact. And we had him on the show to talk about the Bill Beekman hire as Michigan State's new athletic director. Then we kind of segued from there to discussing the upcoming year for Michigan State football. And Swy, correct me if I'm wrong, because Alec and Connor, they were behind the glass engineering. Did he say undefeated? He said a perfect. Zachary Swiezicki believes that Michigan State football is not going to lose a game.
Very ambitious.
That is, and I will say, it's not unrealistic. When you look at the schedule, you know, I like this schedule for Michigan State. It's not crazy to say that. I just don't. It's so hard for any team. I don't care what conference you're talking about. I don't care how good that team is. It could be Alabama. It's so tough to go undefeated throughout the regular season of a college football year. I told myself I'm not going to release my prediction just yet. Okay, I almost did it. I'm going to do it tomorrow. Let me pump my brakes. I'm getting too much into this conversation right now. But actually, speaking of Swy, he'll be joining us. We're going to try and get Zachary Swiezicki on the show tomorrow because Swy, as well as other members of the Impact 89 FM team, they are actually in Chicago covering Big Ten Media Days, and they will be present for day two. When Mark D'Antonio will hit the podium, and we'll really start to really dive into what Coach D has to say concerning his 2018 MSU football squad. So what do you think, though? How good do you think MSU football will be this upcoming year? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News and weigh in there. Or you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. I'm getting some emails and some DMs right now, folks wanting me to go through their schedule. Just real briefly, to go through Michigan State's schedule. The first game will be August 31st, as Michigan State will host Utah State for a night game. That's a Friday night game at 7 p.m., then at Arizona State, I'm really trying hard to get tickets to this one, actually. I want to go to Arizona State University to check out that game.
That's the most intriguing game on their schedule to me.
You think so?
Just because,
other than the Michigan game? I mean,
well, no, what's going to happen with Arizona State this year?
I know. I mean, you got Herm Edwards now.
Yeah, brand new coach.
Right, who's the head coach over there at ASU. We'll see. That's going to be actually in Get Your Coffee Ready, because that's a West Coast game. That will be a 10:45 p.m. kickoff for us.
And Arizona State was one of the number ones last year. At one point, they were number one for, what, 2-3 weeks?
Right.
And then they fell off towards the end of the season.
Yeah,
but
I'm not big on it. I've been reading a few college football preview, you know, magazines out there, and I'm not big on ASU this year. But who knows? That could be a game. Look, I just for those watching on Facebook, right? I just threw my pin just
getting
now.
Excited.
I said, who knows? I get really excited when I talk college football, Ian. But I just threw my pin across the room just now. But who knows? ASU, I don't know. I think they're a crapshoot this upcoming season. But I think it's going to be a good game.
I think they have the talent. It'll just be interesting to see what Herm Edwards can do in his first season as their coach.
Right, exactly. That's going to be an interesting game. And that one will be seen on primetime TV on ESPN. Not ESPN2, not ESPN3, not ESPN Deportes, not ESPN 50. It's going to be on
Not the Ocho?
Not the, oh, right, exactly, right? It's going to be on ESPN, the network, the worldwide leader, all right? So that's going to be a fun game to check out. Then after that, they will be at Indiana on September 22nd, and then they will play at home on September 29th against Central Michigan. October 6th, that's going to be the homecoming game as Michigan State will host Pat Fitzgerald and the Northwestern Wildcats. That will be a noon kickoff. The Indiana and CMU game actually are both, to-be-announced kickoff times. And the rest of the schedule, actually, after the homecoming game at noon, all of those start times, with the exception of at Penn State, which will be a week after, of course, the Northwestern weekend for homecoming, October 13th at Penn State. That's going to be either a 3:30 or 4 p.m. kickoff. And then the rest of the schedule, start times for those games are TBA. October 20th, we all know that's the big game, right? Michigan State at home, taking on Jim Harbaugh and the Michigan Wolverines, October 20th. That's going to be fun. That'll be seen on Fox. And then on the 27th of October, Michigan State will host Purdue. So you get back-to-back home games there, starting with the rival game against Michigan. Then they hit the road to take on Maryland on November 3rd. Then November 10th, at home against Ohio State. Michigan State, I was at that Ohio State game. At Ohio Stadium last year on the road, that embarrassing blowout. So Michigan State trying to enact some revenge against Urban Meyer and company on November 10th. And then on November 17th, Michigan State hits the road to take on Nebraska, and they will wrap up the season with the lollipop game, in my opinion, at home against Rutgers on November 24th. So there you have that. Again, if you want to weigh in, 517-355-WKAR. In the meantime, here are your current sports quick hit headliners. As again, as we've been talking about, Big Ten Media Days underway out in Chicago. The Big Ten Media Days kicked off today with Nebraska's Scott Frost, Northwestern's Pat Fitzgerald, Penn State's James Franklin is talking right now, Purdue's Jeff Brohm, Minnesota's P.J. Fleck, and Rutgers head coach Chris Ash, as well as U of M's Jim Harbaugh, all getting the opportunity to have a full podium interview. Mark D'Antonio will be speaking tomorrow with senior running back L.J. Scott, senior safety Kari Willis, and redshirt junior quarterback Brian Lewerke with him. Each coach will also have a one-hour breakout session with reporters after the podium session, so a ton of questions being thrown at these respective coaches of the Big Ten, as will three players from each team on the corresponding day with their coach. And I want to double-check on this with one of you guys behind the glass, but I believe Kari Willis will be addressing the Big Ten on behalf of the entire conference from the player perspective. So, like, you know, you gotta even have, like, the NBA Players Association, the NFL Players Association, and the representative as the president. Well, Kari Willis was selected to speak, I believe, at the Big Ten conference. So I think that's big
time. So he's the new
stuff.
Chris Paul, basically.
Right, basically, yeah, at least for the players in the Big Ten conference. So I want to double check on that if we could, but I believe he is. Yeah, I'm getting the thumbs up from Connor. So, all right. And speaking of Brian Lewerke, Lewerke was among 10 players named to the Big Ten's preseason honors list, which was announced this morning, actually. Now, the group was selected by a panel of 10 media members and features five players from each division. Michigan State defensive lineman Malik McDowell was named to the preseason honors, if you remember, back in 2016, and the Spartans did not have a selection last year. Now, joining Lewerke on the preseason honors list in the East Division is Michigan defensive end Rashawn Gary, Ohio State defensive end Nick Bosa, Ohio State running back J.K. Dobbins, and Penn State quarterback Trace McSorley, who was a unanimous selection. All right, get this. The Detroit Lions and I'm actually rocking a Detroit Lions shirt today. Probably not that valuable, folks, because of this story. The Detroit Lions are in desperate need for some good news. Of course, Ziggy Ansah did not sign a long-term deal with the Lions. And, of course, the strange departure of longtime popular radio analyst Jim Brandstatter. The Lions have been really getting curb-stopped by bad news. The Honolulu Blue not making the Forbes magazine's top 50 most valuable teams does not help either. Yeah. No surprise there, though, right? It's the Detroit Lions. They are one of three NFL teams to not make it. Now, that's what's surprising about the story. Just one of three NFL teams not to make this list, joining the Cincinnati Bengals and the Buffalo Bills. According to Forbes, the Lions are worth $1.7 billion, essentially making them the NFL's second least valuable team, just ahead of the Bills, who are worth $1.6 billion. Now, why are they valued so low? Colin Cowherd of Fox said this about their low value. The Lions are one of only four teams not to play in a Super Bowl. One of only three teams to finish a season without a win. One of only two teams not to win a playoff game since 1991. And the team with the most losses in the Super Bowl era. The Lions are the only team to check all four boxes. By the way, their two greatest players, Barry Sanders and Calvin Johnson, both retired early. What does that tell you? Very well said from Colin Cowherd. I think he really broke that down and really made a lot of Lions fans a bit sad just now. So there you have that. All right, the Detroit Tigers. If you are looking for any good news from a Detroit professional sports team today, then today isn't your day. All right, the Tigers got crushed 9-1 by the number one overall team in the majors. Boston Red Sox pitcher Chris Sale dominated on the mound, retiring each of the first eight batters he faced, with half of them striking out. Blaine Hardy struggled and ended his campaign in the fourth inning, giving up four earned runs. The Red Sox offense had a field day on the old English D, pitching, scoring six runs within the first four innings and nine total. The Tigers now sit at 42-59 and remain third in the American League Central. So not a great outing for the Detroit Tigers. They will try to shake off this incredible slump that they're in right now, starting tonight against the Kansas City Royals. That will be an 8:15 p.m. first pitch. That will be a three-game set. Tomorrow will also be a 8:15 p.m. first pitch. And then on Wednesday, they will get it on in the afternoon, 2:15 p.m. first pitch to finish out that three-game set. All right, folks, and speaking of the Tigers, there's another Tiger that I want to talk about. Tiger Woods. If you missed Tiger Woods in his prime, then you should be excited because you caught a glimpse of his greatness yesterday at the Open Championship, also known as the British Open. Also, the ratings of the British Open were through the roof. The numbers are in, and the numbers don't lie. Tiger Woods, the Tiger Woods effect is very, very real. The final round of the British Open posted an overnight rating of 5.0. That number ties Tiger's 2006 win at Royal Liverpool for the highest British Open final round rating since Woods completed his career Grand Slam at St. Andrews in 2000. Absolutely amazing. He fell just short in the tournament at Carnoustie Championship Course, tying for sixth place with Eddie Pepperell and Kevin Chappell. So we'll have more in just a moment when it comes to the British Open. I was like a little kid watching Tiger in his prime. It took me back because Tiger used to be my favorite athlete. Man, he probably still is, in my opinion. I still get antsy whenever Tiger's competing, man. I'm like a little kid, man, watching him play. And that took me back, watching him compete the way he did in the final round of a major championship. I'll have more on Tiger Woods in just a moment. Also, this news is making the rounds after meeting with representatives from both the Miami Heat and the Houston Rockets during the NBA Las Vegas Summer League. Melo has apparently reached a decision on where he wants to play this upcoming NBA season. Carmelo Anthony is who I'm talking about, of course. According to TNT's David Aldridge, Melo has been telling friends that he plans on signing with the Rockets in the coming days. The deal is speculated to be just a veteran's minimum, which comes out to about $2.4 million. But again, he's getting that buyout, which is almost $30 million. Also, sad news here. Sad news here. Really shocked the sporting world hearing this over the weekend. The Minnesota Vikings announced that offensive line coach, Tony Sparano, he died unexpectedly on early Sunday morning. He was just 56 years old. Sparano began his coaching career in 1999 with the Cleveland Browns before stints with the Washington Redskins, Jacksonville Jaguars, and Dallas Cowboys. He is most well known for his 08 to 2011 head coaching tenure with the Miami Dolphins, in which he successfully implemented the Wildcat offense against the New England Patriots in week 3 of the 08 season. The Dolphins went on to not only win the game 38-13, but rode Sparano's experimental offense to an 11-5 record and an AFC East title, making him the only AFC East coach to win the AFC East other than Bill Belichick since 2002. So just very shocking news there. And lastly, Johnny Manziel, Johnny Football, has been sent off to the CFL equivalent of Siberia as the Hamilton Tiger Cats traded the once promising quarterback to the last place Montreal Alouettes as part of a 5-player trade. Johnny Football, also offensive tackle Tony Washington and offensive lineman Landon Rice were sent to Montreal in exchange for defensive end Jamal Westerman, wide receiver Chris Williams, and first-round picks in 2020 and 2022. Manziel never saw the field for Hamilton, which has been led by quarterback Jeremiah Masoli. Masoli tied a CFL record with 9 straight 300-yard passing games before the team's Week 5 bye. All right, let's hit our final break. When we come back, we will have weekend winners for you. And I'll put in perspective what we saw over the weekend with Mr. Tiger Woods. It was special. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. To close out the show, we're just going to just dive right into our weekend winners. And the biggest weekend winner for me is a man who had all eyes on him this Sunday, that being Tiger Woods. Now, Francesco Molinari, who actually played with Tiger in this final round, he took home the claret jug. Molinari was fantastic. I don't think he posted anything. Well, I don't think he had a bogey at all in both of his final two rounds, in the third and fourth round, which was good enough for him to end up pulling out things. But it's Tiger Woods that continues to move the needle. No, it's Tiger Woods who is the needle in the world of golf. Because when you look at the numbers, the numbers clearly show that when Tiger Woods is not playing, the general sports world does not care. Now, you know, we've been having this conversation a lot in relation to the young pups of the golf world who are no doubt, great players, incredibly entertaining, players like Jason Day, Ricky Fowler, Jordan Spieth, Rory McIlroy, great players. They all have their own individual swag as well. But Tiger Woods, when you look at the ratings over the weekend, specifically on Sunday's final round, Tiger Woods shows you that he is still that guy that we care about in the sport of golf. And you can say this about Tiger as well. in relation to every other superstar in their respective sport. LeBron James in the NBA. Tom Brady in the NFL. Lionel Messi in the world of soccer. I mean, I can go on and on and on here. Floyd Mayweather in the sport of boxing. If you were to take those said superstars away, you're still going to watch. You're still going to watch. Heck, even with boxing, I said the same thing about Floyd Mayweather at one time and comparing him to Tiger Woods and the effect that he has on the sport. However, you know, people certainly tune in, and the ratings are through the roof for a regular Floyd Mayweather fight. However, when you take him away, I mean, the numbers don't, I should say, change dramatically. You know, if you were to take LeBron James away from the NBA, you're going to stop watching the NBA? You're still going to tune in. You are still going to watch the NBA because there's other stars that are appealing for various reasons. Tom Brady, if he isn't playing, you're just going to stop watching the NFL? The NFL, the most popular North American sport. You're just going to stop watching it? No, it's not going to happen. But Tiger and golf, if you take Tiger Woods away, nobody tunes in. General sports fans do not tune in. Folks, according to NBC Sports and Golf Channel, which televised the Open Championship, this year's tournament drew a 5.0 overnight figure. That is the highest number since the 2006 Open, won by Tiger at Royal Liverpool, which also drew a 5.0, only topped by the 2000 Open at St. Andrews, where Woods won his first claret jug to complete the career Grand Slam. And it should be noted, Tiger, vying for his 15th major and first in nearly a decade, wasn't really the lone storyline on Sunday. We saw Jordan Spieth try and make a late surge there. You know, Rory McIlroy, you know, it was pretty exciting. But to put those numbers I just mentioned, that 5.0 rating also in perspective, heck, I just mentioned Jordan Spieth, right, who was in contention over the weekend. Jordan Spieth was the defending champion of the British Open coming into this tournament. When you compare Jordan Spieth and the rating that he got last year at the Open Championship and the viewership this year, it was that amounts, that 5.0 overnight figure in comparison to last year's viewership at the Open Championship, that's a 38% rating increase. Mind-blowing. That's 12 off from a 50% increase, folks. I was sitting there watching Tiger Woods do what he did on Sunday. And again, as I mentioned before we hit that last break, I was like a little kid. Hanging on every putt, every drive, every approach shot. It was absolutely amazing. And now, as I sit here on July 23rd, 2018, I'm not sounding as crazy as I did maybe a few months ago when I said that I believe this year Tiger Woods is going to win another tournament. You know, you got the Bridgestone coming up. He hasn't confirmed whether or not he's going to play in that. And then after that, of course, you have the PGA Championship. But what we're seeing from Tiger, being competitive, and again, this is the first time we've seen Tiger competitive in a major since like 1902, it feels like, right? It was special. It was special watching that. And there are a few areas that Tiger has to improve on. If he really is going to make a solid run at a major, his driving has to become better. You know, and I think when you're playing Lynx golf is a bit different. And he could get away with not having, you know, that driver. We saw him with his 3-wood off the tee and playing, you know, the irons off the tee throughout those 4 rounds. But he's got to get better with his driver, and he has to get better putting. And that is something that, you know, when you look at Tiger Woods' dominance, when he was blowing out the field in his prime by double-digit strokes, Tiger's putting was the best part of his game. It was amazing what he could do with the putter. And now he has switched up and gotten a new putter, and he's trying to adjust with that. But, you know, I look at what happened on the back nine. I mean, he goes three over in the span of two holes, and I say, gosh. I mean, just imagine, if he just pars those two holes, he is in great position to possibly win this thing. I think he kind of tensed up, maybe. You know, he hasn't been in this position in a long time. I think he tensed up. And it's so rare. You know, that used to be Tiger. You know, the guy that Tiger used to play with was so intimidated playing with Tiger Woods that guy would just fall off the face of the earth. But Francisco Molinari, playing with Tiger Woods, played some of the best golf of his life on Sunday. That was a bit odd to watch. But again, the mere fact that Tiger is competitive, he is knocking on the door, and eventually that door is going to open. I think it's coming, folks. But it's so amazing to me that Tiger Woods, not in his prime, you know, he hasn't won a major in so long, hasn't really been competitive since 2013. The fact that the British Open TV ratings soared after that Sunday run by Tiger just shows you that this is a guy who still has so much influence, who has such still a huge imprint in the world of golf. Now I'm just hoping that he gets a win. But I don't think there's any other athlete that you can say, if you take that athlete who is the face of a certain sport, whether it be a Brady, whether it be a LeBron, whether it be a Messi, there's no other athlete on planet Earth that when you take him away from the sport, the viewership totally drops. You can't say that about any other athlete. That is what makes Tiger Woods Tiger Woods. And it was special. Even though he lost, it was special what we saw over the weekend. So I want to take your comments and calls tomorrow. I want to know what you think of the run that Tiger had over the weekend and whether or not you believe that Tiger Woods will eventually win a tournament. Just a tournament. I don't know about a major. You know, a major is a different feel. But I do believe that Tiger is going to win another tournament very, very soon here. I said this year. I'm still sticking with that. So we'll take your calls and comments on that tomorrow. Again, we hope to have Zachary Swiezicki joining us here on the show, reporting from Big Ten Media Days out in Chicago tomorrow. So we'll talk some college football as well. That and so much more. Until then, though, again, folks, I hope you had a great weekend. Hope you are having a great start to your work week. In the meantime, we are on a 23-hour break. And also, much love to Ron DeLeon for joining us at the top. Back at it, same time, same place tomorrow. Be easy, people.